Well, we have many people that invest in our lives and people we desire to emulate that are worthy examples for us. But ultimately, as believers, our primary motivation and goal and person that we should aspire to be like and please is the Lord, that we would walk worthy of the Lord. And Paul talked about that when he said, I press towards the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so he is the one we aspire most to be like. Well, we've made our way by God's grace in another year that he's given to us. And he's given us this day. We don't know what a day may bring forth, what tomorrow may bring, but we know that God never changes and his promises are true and amen. And we can rest in those as we journey through the path that he has for us. And he will never leave us or forsake us. And so what an assurance that we have. As a church family, we started just over, probably over a year ago, I don't know exactly how long ago, a series in Paul's letter to the church at Corinth. And we've been looking at that, and we've made our way through 1 Corinthians chapter 14 on the discussion through chapters 12 through 14 of spiritual gifts. And we've now made our way into chapter 14 and dealing with speaking in tongues and those types of things. And we've been looking at the practice of spiritual gifts, and we established in chapters 1 through 25, don't be turning there because we're not going there. I'm setting you up. We looked in verses 1 through 25 about in the practice of our spiritual gifts, the emphasis needs to be encouragement of the body. The body needs to be built up. The body needs to be encouraged. We'll be looking at next week the last half of that chapter as it relates to the practice of spiritual gifts, that the emphasis is going to be order. God established order within the church of how we should worship, how we should exercise our gifts. And so we'll be looking at that next week. That's more of a teaching session, and then we'll kind of wrap that chapter up with maybe some more practical things as it relates to some of those issues we've been discussing. And so ready to do that. I just thought that's kind of a heavy one, and I don't know that my mind was ready for that yet, okay? But I wasn't here on the 22nd of December, just before Christmas, and was going to be preaching a Christmas message, and so I'm going to preach a Christmas message this morning. I don't know about your house, but it's still Christmas at our house. My wife loves Christmas, and I'm glad that she loves Christmas, because if it wasn't for my wife, as I mentioned on Thanksgiving praise service, she's kind of the glue. She's the one that makes our house a home, and she's the one that makes our holidays special and those types of things. And so she loves Christmas. She starts listening to Christmas music in the fall, and she decorates the day after, well, she maybe even starts a little early, but Thanksgiving, we get her tree the day after Thanksgiving. And I don't know when how much longer is it going to stay up, you think? Probably this week, and that's early for her. But she's transitioned to winter decorations, all right? And so she's the one that makes our house a home. And so so it's still Christmas at our house. I had a Christmas tie I got at Joseph A. Banks for $4.99 last year. And I was looking forward to wearing it on the 22nd, but I wasn't here. I was in the hospital. So I wasn't able to, and regularly $40 for $4.99. And so if you're looking for a Christmas tie, head down to Joseph A. Banks, and you might find in the clearance section, you might find maybe this tie. Okay, for maybe it's cheaper than $4.99. But anyway, we're going to look at a familiar text of Scripture. So turn to Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. I thought, though this is a Christmas message, I think it's a good reminder to us as we think about finding joy in sharing our hope. Because obviously we have a special opportunity during the Christmas season to share our hope, because people are thinking about the birth of Christ and that type of thing. And so that there are times of the year that bring special opportunity or specific events of life that bring the opportunity to share the gospel. But whether it's Christmas, we really have the opportunity and obligation to be witnesses for Christ, to share our hope with Christ. And so I thought that would be a good reminder for us as well as we look at these shepherds this morning. And so we want to look at this idea of finding joy in sharing our hope in this familiar passage in Luke chapter 2. We did look at one other passage of Scripture on the scene of Christ's birth, the nativity. What does nativity mean? Nativity is just simply means the events surrounding somebody's birth. So we all have a nativity. We all have a story. We all have details that are unique to our birth. But we refer to Christ's birth as the holy nativity. In other words, they are obviously he being the Son of God, those God becoming flesh and coming unto us, certain elements of his coming that are separate from, above, holy, as it relates to the birth of Christ. And so we kind of spent some time looking at some primary characters of this nativity story that we might find joy in this time of season or in life as well. We are obviously, during this past Christmas season, you maybe were involved with many things, maybe many good things. But the question sometimes in the midst of those things that we have to ask ourselves, are we finding joy? We could all list joy killers in life or during the Christmas season. I'm talking to some here today. There is news that we can hear in our culture today that could steal our joy. Maybe the way your job has turned and some of the events of life or an illness or a political state of things. There's a lot of things in our lives that can be joy killers. And the reality is we really have to work hard at keeping a mindset of joy in Jesus Christ. We need to stay focused, especially during this time of year into the Christmas season, to focus on Christ and why he came and what he accomplished and what he offers in the free gift of salvation, that we might maintain this spirit of joy. A few weeks ago, we did look at the Magi, and we saw that they found joy in pursuing the truth. They found joy in pursuing the truth of this promised Messiah, that they surely, as Magi, were aware of those prophecies and those teachings. And so this morning, we want to look at the shepherds as they were given this announcement of good news and try to see if there's some story that through their story, can there be some pattern for us to follow in our lives? And so hopefully that pattern that we'll see this morning and try to assimilate in our own lives is that we should find joy in sharing our hope. Luke chapter 2 verse 8 says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." I maybe should have Linus reading this, right? "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." And so from these shepherds and their encounter with the gospel, the good news, we do find a pattern for us in finding joy in sharing our hope, in finding joy in sharing the good news. And so we're going to just look at three elements this morning of this shepherd story and first see that the story of these shepherds begin in the fact that they hear the good news. They hear the good news. Verses 8 and 9, it says, "And they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And then the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." And so these shepherds heard the good news. You know, verse 8 is a familiar verse, that little section that I just read. But I want us to think a little bit and notice that this hearing was a divine appointment for these shepherds in everyday life. A divine appointment. These shepherds had been keeping watch over their flocks by night for centuries in these very hills. God's people had lived in this region of that known world and time for a long time. And there was nothing about this scene that was out of the ordinary for these shepherds that were managing their flocks at night. That would be the definition of everyday life. Those of you that maybe grew up on the farm, and especially maybe a dairy farm, you know there's just no rest. It's just everyday life to be caring for that livestock. And so it was for these shepherds. That was just the course of their everyday life to keep watch over their flocks. But yet, in verse 9, we have this divine appointment where the angel of the Lord came upon them and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. In other words, there was this intersection of this everyday mundane life and God's purpose and God's agenda. We can think of another very familiar Christmas passage, if you will, Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. The first part of that verse says, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem those that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. But in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son." Okay? And so we think about that just as a time clock would be ticking down during a sporting event, or maybe your countdown if you didn't go to bed before 12 midnight on New Year's Eve, the countdown prior to the anticipation of a new year. The countdown in God's mind was narrowing until that moment when God released his angels to go and tell the shepherds the good news. It was a divine appointment in everyday life. The shepherds were in the fields. Then suddenly the glory of the Lord was unleashed. The truth of the good news of the gospel penetrates the darkness of that night. And not only that night, but penetrates the darkness of their minds to receive the good news. I want us to think that people right now that are in the darkness of unbelief, there are people you know and I know that in this darkness of unbelief may not have any interest in the Bible, okay? They have no interest, maybe, in your message of good news. And they may not necessarily want to hear of your hope, but we do have a message of hope. The light of Christ and his saving gospel can pierce that darkness. You know, the reality is people hear the gospel in the midst of everyday living just as the shepherds did. Think about your life and testimony if you profess to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Where you heard the gospel was in the moment of everyday life. Some of you, yes, as children, but it was everyday life. It was at a VBS or an Awana teacher or a kindergarten teacher or sitting on your bed with your mother or father. Moments of everyday life where we hear the good news and the light of the glorious gospel shines into our hearts. It may be a random encounter at Walmart, or from a believer that you hand out a tract to a waiter or a waitress, or maybe during the Christmas holidays you took a platter of cookies to your neighbor. Okay? And many times how God brings people to saving faith in Christ is what seemed to be through a very normal, a very routine, a very much everyday living. But that everyday experience, mundane experience at that moment, because it was a divine appointment of God, intersected with the good news and with the gospel. That's many times how people hear of Christ. People will hear the gospel this week in the midst of their everyday lives, and I hope we are part of that. And it may be prove to be that moment when they hear with maybe fresh ears, because the Spirit of God is working. And maybe it's the first time they will now hear with open hearts to this message of Christ saving. And so let's remember that God is at work. God is moving in our sphere of influence to intersect our lives of faith in Christ with those that not yet heard or believe. And these divine appointments that God brings into our lives through family, work associates, random encounters of people hearing the gospel. The result was joy for those who needed it. It says there in verse 10 that the angel says, I bring you good tidings or good news of great joy. Okay? I would assume in this culture, in this time historically, that joy was not a common commodity, just as it is not in our culture. Okay? People are worried. People are anxious. People are concerned. There's a lot of uncertainty in our world today. At this point, Israel is the armpit of the world. They've seemingly lost favor with God. They're dominated by Rome. They're dead in their own religious system that has proved to be fruitless. And they're economically bankrupt. At this time, there's not much joy. There's no hope. There's no brightness. There's no light. And the angels come with this good news of great joy. Okay? And so finding joy in the nativity and specifically in sharing our hope and this good news that we have. Remember that this week, the information or announcement you have of the gospel, of the good news, may be often met with a non-receptiveness, because narrow is the way that leads to life everlasting. Many times when we share this good news, it's not people that are welcoming that good news, that are receptive to that good news. But that doesn't change the fact that our message is a message of great joy. Okay? You're not going around handing out pink slips in the workplace. Okay? You're not going around with informing people of increased interest rate hikes or mask mandates. It'd be a lot of news you could be sharing. Let's remember that even though it may not be received always as good news, our message in and of itself is a message of great joy. Okay? And this message of great joy spilled out of heaven to these shepherds, and then they couldn't keep quiet about it. Okay? It was their natural response in joy to share that. The angels were announcing rescue, relief, righteousness. The coming of the gospel message that is just being announced to all. This is good news which shall be of great joy to all people. And so that's the announcement of these shepherds in verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And so these shepherds were rejoicing in the coming of this Savior. The city of David could refer to the old Jerusalem there. But yet, think of these shepherds hearing about this city of David. These shepherds probably dreamed, these shepherd boys growing up would have dreamed, oh, that I could be a shepherd like David, who was summoned from this field of caring for sheep to defeat that great giant and enemy Goliath, and then ultimately David became king himself. I'm sure the shepherds loved the story of David. So when their shepherds received this message that in the city of David a Savior is born, in their minds they would have hopefully known the Old Testament story and thought, we've seen this before. What had they seen before? Well, they had seen a shepherd become a Savior and become a king. And maybe those thoughts came to their mind as they received this announcement. Maybe they understood that this one that was going to be born in the city of David would not be one that would save us from the Philistines or from some giant soldier, but he would be the one that ultimately would save them from sin and ultimately would save them from that great enemy, the devil. The book of 1 John says that Christ Jesus came into the world to destroy the works of the devil. And so this announcement of great joy that in the city of David there will be this Savior that will be born, Christ the Lord, really is a militant type of announcement. It's about this strategic plan of God to defeat the spiritual foe of this earth and even death itself. And so once the angels made this announcement in verse 13, that they're accompanied with this announcement, the host of heaven, the armies of heaven, that were again beginning this advance that could not be defeated. And so they were rejoicing. Why? Because the shepherd, Savior, King has been born. And so this is why we learn from the shepherds that ours is a hope to be shared. Okay. Jesus said, this hope, this gospel, this kingdom will advance and the gates of hell will not withstand the attack. It is a hopeful, victorious gospel. So this morning, we can take heart that those that you know and love and maybe even spent time with over the holidays that seem to be so hardened to the gospel, God in his power and by his Spirit can soften those hardened hearts to bring them to a point of faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So take heart. Continue to pray. Continue to share. Continue to live out your life to exemplify Christ. And let God do his work. Share your hope. Share the gospel of this shepherd, Savior, King that has come. And so the story begins with hearing the good news. But then it moves on. Number two, the shepherds we see believing the good news. Okay? The text never says that the shepherds believe what they were told. But there are some indications that belief was a critical part of their response and of this story. In the message itself, it says in verse 11 that born to you this day is a Savior, which is the Christ. The Christ. Now, that at that point in time was not a name. Later on, as we go through the early church, it became a name as it relates to Christ. But at this point, this word Christ was actually a title. It was a title. And it meant the anointed one, or the chosen one, or the promised one, the Christ who will be the Lord. So this has the idea of Messiah. This announcement is in the language, in other words, of promise, because that's what these folks were dealing with, and those in the Old Testament, this language of a coming Messiah, this language of promise. And so we see that. In spite of all the promises, he had not yet come. To humanity or to Israel, and the situation in the present was not a good one. But they were awaiting this Messiah, and so the shepherds and others received the one that they were expecting, as they anticipated him. So the shepherds heard of this Christ, this anointed one, this Messiah, and they believed. And as the Old Testament bore testimony to this coming Messiah. So this language of promise that they received, they believed it, okay, as God kept his promise. Another indication of their believing was this announcement to the shepherds include a presence of a sign. In verse 12, God says, and this shall be a sign unto you. They didn't ask for a sign, okay? And a lot of times when we think of a sign, we think that a sign is something that is directed towards those that are faithless. All right? But here, God chooses to give a sign, and it's his idea to do so. And he says a Savior will be born, and God, to help these people know that this is true, God says, I'm going to give you a sign. And so he gives them this sign. In redemptive history, that they will find this babe lying in a manger. So God was kind that he helped them understand in his kindness this massive fulfillment of everything that had ever been prophesied of this Messiah, this Christ. And so a mind-blowing revelation. And God in his kindness gave them a sign here to let them know exactly what they would find so that it confirmed the message that that they were making. And so this sign was volunteered by the angels because God wanted them to believe this and to make it easy for them. And then we know they believed after they heard, they believed the good news because of their response of faith. Because in verse 15, we see that their response was this. After they received this announcement of these good tidings of great joy, that this one that is born is Christ the Lord, it says, they said, let us go and see. Okay, let us act upon that which we have heard. In other words, if this is true, we're going to go find, and we're going to find this baby lying in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. Okay, they would have been familiar with this language even, maybe as shepherds, as they would have newborn lambs, and maybe even lambs that would be used in temple sacrifice, and maybe finding that lamb that was without spot or blemish, and they would wrap in strips of cloth to protect that young lamb from any harm or damage. And so that this was language they were familiar with. And so they went. They were understanding this. They were believing this. And so they go and find and look and acted in faith, believing that they would find this babe wrapped in a manger. And so we see this connection of this sign that was given, and they received it and they believed it and went to find the babe lying in a manger. And then verse 17 talks about the fact, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them. They knew it was true and they believed it. And then it kind of then skips right into the theme of our thought this morning, finding joy in sharing the gospel. So number one, they heard the good news. Number two, they believed the good news. And then the text immediately steers us to number three, they share the good news. So they heard it, they believed it, and they shared it. And that's what we just read. When they saw it, kind of a parenthesis, it doesn't say they believed, but there were indications they believed because they acted upon that which they had heard. And so we know they believed. God gave them a sign to help their faith a little bit. Okay? And then after believing, they shared the good news. But before we talk about the sharing of the good news, really the most pressing question this morning is not about our theme of sharing the good news. The most pressing question this morning is, have you believed the promise of God in Jesus Christ? Do you believe this angelic message of the Savior that was born, which is Christ the Lord? Do you believe that? Do you believe this morning that Jesus Christ is the remedy for your sin? And through faith in his work on the cross, his burial, and his resurrection, that through faith in that and that alone, you can have forgiveness of sins and eternal life with God? That's the pressing question this morning. You can't do that. You can't make yourself fit to stand before your holy Creator God. As these shepherds did, and as the people of this time did, you need a rescuer. You need a Savior. You cannot take on the great enemy of God's people, sin and Satan and death. You can't do that. You need a shepherd, Savior, King, which is Jesus Christ. And so, have you believed? That really is the pressing question this morning. And if you haven't believed in Christ and trusted and fully embraced who he is and what he has done and that he came to die for your sin, you can do that right now. You can simply in your seat, in that pew right now, before I even end this message, say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. You know that. There's not a lot of convincing that needs to take place with that point. That all has sinned and come short of the glory of God. That the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. There's usually not a lot of convincing of that. And I think as well as it relates to sin, we all have an awareness that that sin has brought separation from a holy God. We just sense that because we were created in the image of God to worship God, but we can't because sin has separated us from that fellowship with our Creator God. And we sense that. God places eternity in our hearts, the book of Ecclesiastes says. We have that awareness. As the Spirit of God works in us, we search and long for that. And you have an awareness of that. And the answer is that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's how he proved his love to you. That while from the foundation of the world, God had purposed that he was going to display his love by sending his only unique son to die on the cross for me and for you. And if you believe that he is the payment, he is your substitute, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, whosoever believes in him has everlasting life. If you just simply right now say, God, I'm a sinner. Thank you for sending Jesus Christ to die for my sin. I now invite him into my life to be my Savior, right, and to be my Lord. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the promise of God. And right now, you can simply do that. At the end of the service, when we bow our head, you can just take a moment to pray that simple sinner's prayer, we call it. And those of us that are Christians here this morning have prayed that sinner's prayer, because we are sinners in need of rescue as well. And you can ask Jesus to be your Savior. Or you can come and say, can I go through a Bible study, or can you show me in the Bible? We would take the time to do that, that you might know Jesus as your Savior. And so that's the pressing question this morning. Do you believe the good news? Okay? And so we see that. But yet, here we see these shepherds who heard and believed. We see in verse 17 that they shared the good news. They made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. So if you answered the question this morning, yes, I believe that Jesus is the Savior. I believe that I can be made righteous through faith in Christ. I can be forgiven by faith in him. I can have everlasting life in heaven by faith in him. If you believe that, then it is should be our natural response of life to do what these shepherds did. And to share abroad that good news. And in verse 18 it says, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Okay? So they heard, they believed, now they're sharing the gospel. The angels in their announcement hinted in verse 10 that this good news will be for all people. It wasn't just a message for these shepherds only, though it was given specifically to them. It was good news of great joy for all people. So we saw that familiar phrase maybe this Christmas season on Christmas cards, or maybe millions of people read this familiar passage of this good news of great joy for all people. And so we see it's good news for all people that we can share. And so this great joy of great news results in this great sharing of our hope. We see in verse 17 a clear definition of this sharing. In verse 17 it says, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad. They made known abroad those things which were told. You know, we talk about evangelize or evangelism or evangelistic outreach. Sometimes we take that word evangel or evangelize or evangelism and we sort of categorize it with a particular job description. Maybe the job description of an evangelist. But that's not necessarily what the word means. It really has the idea of gospel or good news. What is an evangel? An evangel is a good news teller. That's what it means. Gloria and Annette are not here this morning, but those of you that were old timers here at Emmanuel Baptist Church, maybe remember Alex Mackey and the question that he would ask us as we would enter in to our church on a particular day of the week, a Wednesday or a Sunday. Alex would always tell us, have you heard the good news? Anticipating the response, what good news? Okay? And he would always respond, Jesus loves you. See, what is an evangel? Evangel is a good news teller. And the good news is that Jesus loves you. And how do we know he loves us? God loves you. It's because he sent his son to die on the cross for you. And so what is it to be a one that shares the hope? We are simply good news teller. So the definition of sharing or evangelism is in a different form here. It's the idea that they just simply made known. They made known the things that were told them. So what was told them? That a Savior was born in the city of David, who is Christ the Lord. This good news of a shepherd, Savior, King, who's been born. That's the message they shared. And these shepherds simply told to others what had been told to them. They believed it. We've believed it. We know it's true, and we make it known. Okay? You know, there are a lot of great tools these days and training classes for evangelism. We've had them here. We've had Jeff Musgrave in the Exchange on a couple of occasions, and an evangelistic relational Bible study. And there's a lot of good things out there. I was listening to a podcast, for those of you that know Brother Jeff. He was a church planner and pastor in Denver, Colorado for 30 years. Now his ministry is doing these relational evangelistic training. I was listening to one of his podcasts or sharing the gospel when someone is fixated on issues like abortion or gender or politics. You ever face that? Okay. Talking to somebody that doesn't know the Lord and there's all these issues in our culture on abortion or gender or politics. How do we share the gospel with somebody like that? And he shared some thoughts that I thought were helpful. One of the things he says was that as it relates to people that are believers that are sharing the gospel with others and maybe discussing those issues, he would never want to stop anyone from having a gospel conversation, right? We should always be looking for opportunities as Christians to have gospel conversations, even if somebody doesn't do it the way that we would do it, right? And so we should never discourage gospel conversations. You know, God gives each of us our own personalities, skills, and perspectives, doesn't he? He does. We all have different personalities and skills and perspectives. And so we're not all going to do gospel conversation and relational gospel ministry the same way. But we should be thinking about it. We should be thinking about being sensitive to divine appointments. The reality is God uses all of our flawed and weak efforts to accomplish his perfect and good will. We just simply sow and water. That's all we do. And God uses us as weak vessels to bring about the good news being shared with others. So if you're having gospel conversations, keep it up. Continue to do that. In conversation with unbelievers, neighbors, whoever it might be, we must remember that our friend's primary need is the gospel. So as you discuss issues of the day in these gospel conversations, always remember that that person's primary need is the gospel. Okay? In other words, you're dealing with somebody that's dealing with some issue or maybe some sin that they're involved with, some lifestyle. You need to understand that these people don't have to get it all right on these side issues. Okay? What they must get right is as it relates to their own soul's need. Okay? And their belief and trust in Jesus Christ. And so, let's not get too hung up on these things. Okay? They don't have to get it right in all these areas in order to be saved. They need to get their soul need right. So remember that the primary need of the person we are talking to is critical. We also need to remember that the Bible promises that the Holy Spirit is in the world convicting men of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Those are topics sometimes we don't like talking about, but these are the very topics that the Holy Spirit promises that is going to be, he's going to be helping people with. See, as we have these gospel conversations, it is the Spirit of God that is going to enter into those conversations through the Word of God and into the hearts of people and to begin to convict people, make them aware of sin and the effect of sin in their lives. The result of sin is death. A separation from God, and one day a potential separation in all eternity from God. So the Holy Spirit's going to do that work. And so we may address issues, but do so with the mindset of relationship. That your friend's primary need of a relationship is a relationship with Christ. And your the need for that redemptive relationship that they have with you as a friend. So we need to make it our prayer and priority to understand people's soul needs because God wants and has given to us the good news to be shared that can meet that need. Most of us many times don't feel equipped to adequately debate all these various topics, right? You don't really feel equipped to debate some of these cultural topics that we have today. And the danger of that is that if we sense that we're not equipped to deal with some of these things, if we feel that we have to master all of these topics before we can give the gospel, the probability is that we will give up and we'll never share the gospel. See, that's the danger. Okay? So what do we need to do? Let's try to master the gospel in our conversation with our friends and their soul needs, and to see that Jesus is the answer to those needs. We need to make sure that we're good at the gospel. We may not be good in all these other things, but let's make sure we're good at the gospel. Okay? Let's think back to the shepherds. These uneducated, despised men of this culture, many times dishonest, thieves, looked down upon. Let's look back at the shepherds and see that they simply told what was told them. As much as they knew about the Savior, which maybe wasn't that much, they did know that the angels had said a Savior is born and he is Christ, the Messiah. And that's what they simply made known. Okay? And that helps us understand what is truly essential to be a witness. What are two things that are needed to be a witness for Jesus Christ? Well, number one, you have to have something to tell, right? To be a witness of Jesus Christ, like these shepherds, we have to have something to tell, and then we need someone to tell. Those are the two things that are necessary to be a witness. Something to tell and someone to tell. And that's what it means in verse 8 of chapter 1 of Acts, that you shall be witnesses unto me. What is a witness in a courtroom? What does it mean to be a witness? It means you have something to tell because you have seen it, you have heard it, you have experienced it, you have believed it, and the only other thing you need is someone to tell. So, do we have something to tell? Do you have something to tell? Then if so, all we need is someone to tell. And if we have that heart, God, I have something to tell. Thank you for saving me. If we have that heart, God will divinely lead you to that someone. You're going to encounter all kinds of people that have a soul need of Jesus Christ. So we need to be thoughtful. We need to be sensitive. We need to tell it to someone. We need to consider how I might make Christ known or share my hope. Verse 18 talks about all that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. We don't really know what that wondering was, whether it was a wondering in faith or a wondering in worship. Okay, but it could have been a number of things. It might have been, that's a strange thing. I've never heard that before. It might have been, we've heard of this, all of this talk about Messiah's coming for hundreds of years. Here just comes another one of those mentions of this Messiah's coming. It may have been as it related to the shepherds. What are you, these stinky shepherds, doing in this town, telling us these things? Go back to the fields. But it simply says the shepherds made known. And all that heard it wondered. Okay. At the very least, this reminds us that the results are not the measure of our evangelistic success. We have to remember that we are witnesses, that we have something to tell and we have somebody to tell it to. And when we do that, you have been successful in evangelism, in sharing the good news. Okay. We need to remember that we make the good news known. We're not responsible for making people believe it, like it, or want it more. That's not our task. And the reality is, that's not even in the realm of our ability to make somebody believe it, or to make somebody like it, or to make somebody necessarily want more of it. We don't have the ability to do that. Only God and His Spirit does. We share the gospel. Every sharing is success. Every sharing is obedience. Every sharing is a fulfillment of being what God has called us to be, witnesses. And so we can be excited, as Paul did even in Philippians chapter 1, with those that were preaching the gospel with insincere motives. We can always be excited about every passing out of the good news to someone else in any way, shape, or form. So, at the very least, it looks like let's look at these lowly shepherds and learn that sharing our hope in the gospel means just that, sharing. Okay, that we will take what God has entrusted to us and we will share that with other people. We make known the hope of rescue from sin. We make known the hope of a restored relationship with God. We make known the hope of rest in the midst of chaos in the world. We make known the hope of a heaven that we sung about this morning. And so there was this sharing of the good news. And then they rejoiced in it quickly in verse 20. It says, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. They went back glorifying and praising God. And that's what the good news of great joy leads to. It leads to, as people put faith in Christ and what he has shared about his son, it leads to worship, it leads to praise. They were excited about this good news of great joy. We have good news in a world that doesn't get much of that. We have great joy. This world has a lot of pretend joys. We have great joy. And so good news of great joy that leads to glorifying and praising God. And so as we enter in to 2025, with whatever days God gives us, we have heard the good news. We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Bring glad tidings. Bear glad tidings all around. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. May that be what we share as God brings these divine appointments through the mundane circumstances and situations of life, just as these shepherds were abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night, as they had done for centuries. May we, in those mundane situations of life, look for divine appointments where we can share the hope of good news to all people. Let's pray together. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I mentioned earlier this morning that if you have not yet trusted in Christ, if you would like some help or somebody to share with you from the scriptures and sit down with you, we can make that opportunity available. If the Spirit of God is drawing you, if you're asking these questions about sin and a relationship with God and knowing God and eternal life and the promise of heaven and escaping hell and all these things that the scriptures talk about, we'd be glad to talk with you about that and have a conversation with you. And so, but if you this morning simply just invite Jesus Christ to be your Savior, as I mentioned earlier, you can experience the promise, the joy of the good news of knowing Christ, the Savior. And as believers, we all struggle in this area of being gospel witnesses. Let's not make it too complicated. Let's just say, God, yes, help me this year to be thankful about my hope. Help me to be sensitive to the needs of others, the soul need of others. Help me to look and be sensitive to the divine workings and the mundane situations of life. And then in those moments, give me the compassion, boldness, and wisdom of how to have a gospel conversation with those that cross my path. Father, thank you and praise you for the hope that we have. Not just a hope so, but a certain expectation based upon your word, the truth of your word, and the Spirit of God that reassures us of our faith and relationship with Christ. That, Father, this message brings great joy and that it's for all people, and help us to be ones that share it. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a good day. God bless.